Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Our reading this morning from the Gospel of John, at first look, seems to be a question concerning the law, how it should be interpreted, and how it should be enforced. A woman is caught in adultery, and it's clear, and the Pharisees and the law lawyers were correct, that in the law of Moses, adultery was punishable by death. After all, in Exodus 20, the commandment that God gave to the children of Israel was, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And then it was prescribed in Leviticus chapter 20 that if a man and woman commit adultery, then both are to be stoned. Now it becomes quite interesting at this point when they accuse this woman, saying that she had been caught in the very act of adultery. If that is true, then where is her partner? Is there a two sides of this? Is this the old-fashioned two-status kind of thing where, yeah, well, it's okay for men, but it's not okay for women? That may have been in some of the minds of the people, but it certainly wasn't in the minds of the Pharisees and the lawyers at that time. They were not really interested in this woman or in the fact that she committed adultery. They were more interested in putting Jesus in a very difficult situation. If Jesus said, "Yes, you're right, she should be stoned," then the people would think ill of Jesus. And if Jesus said, "No, do not stone her," then they could accuse him for not following the law of Moses, and hence then being a false prophet. So Jesus, as the Pharisees and the lawyers thought, was in a very tough spot. They were proud of themselves. They had caught him. However, Jesus didn't answer them immediately. He bowed down and started writing in the sand, pretending not to hear. Some may use this text as a verse showing that selective hearing may be justified from time to time. However, let's look at these accusers. They're accusing this woman of adultery, obviously, yet they weren't really serious, or they would have brought the man too. And do we not sometimes become like accusers? We're more interested in a show of righteousness. We want to get someone else to follow the law. We want to set somebody else up for the fall, to embarrass them, to accuse them, make them suffer for what they have done. And we could also be in the place of the accused, where from time to time people would accuse us, and the law and our own conscience comes down and crushes us and accuses us. And yes, even from time to time, Satan himself accuses us. "You sinner, you fouled up, you made a mistake, you didn't do this right, and you call yourself a Christian." As we said before, this story is not really about adultery. It is about Jesus. And as Jesus knelt down and wrote in the sand, they kept accusing her and asking him, "Well, Lord, what is it we're going to do? What's your answer here? Do we stone this woman or not? What's your answer?" And it says that Jesus straightened up, stood up tall, and looked at him and said, "Let the first of you who throws a stone be without sin. Those without sin, cast the first stone." And one by one, they dropped their stone and left. It's interesting that the elders, it says, were some of the first to leave. Jesus uses the law here to convict every sinner. When we go to accuse another, we go to get revenge, are we without sin ourselves? How much have we contributed to the sorry situation that we are accusing others who have created for us? Are we without sin? Are we able to cast a stone in righteousness? Indeed, in the setting in our gospel, there was only one without sin there in the street, and that was Jesus. And this became evident as one by one dropped their stones and their accusations and hung their head in shame and left. The work of the law had been accomplished in their hearts. They indeed had been convicted of sin. The woman is left standing there. And there's no one left to accuse her. And Jesus says to her, where are all your accusers? Is there no one left to condemn you? And she looks around, probably in great relief, and saying, no one, Lord. No one is here to accuse me. St. Paul uses this text, I think, or is aware of these events, because he says in Romans chapter 3, there is not one who is righteous, not even one. For they all departed, even in this story. And this story expands to us and Paul's message even to us that not one of us is righteous. And so if we depend upon our own righteousness, we are fooling ourselves because all have sinned and gone astray. Now the story could stop here. As a matter of fact, in the world, this is where the story ends. Well, everybody's a sinner, so no one should be condemned for anything. And that's where we leave it. And so everyone kind of walks around in despair, walks around acknowledging, yeah, I'm not perfect, but nobody else is either, and so I am justified. But the Bible says we must be righteous if we want eternal life. Getting along with our fellow men is nice, but it still doesn't open the gates of heaven. Jesus does not condemn her, but says, leave your sin and go. Now some said, go and sin no more. But one translation says, leave your sin. Leave it with Jesus. That's what Jesus was saying, I think. Because that's what Jesus invites us all to do. He asks us to come before him, and to leave our sin here, to leave it at the foot of the cross where Christ would pay for it in full. And he would leave a receipt, his word and his sacrament, to remind us that the debts of sin that we had been paid in full. And in exchange, he's given us his righteousness. In Romans chapter 8, it says, for those who are in Christ Jesus, they're not condemned. And that's for each and every one of us. Christ on the cross took the condemnation for this adulteress who was caught, for her partner, unnamed and unmentioned in the story. But he also took the condemnation for each and every one of us, for every ill word spoken, for every accusation cast over against another, for every wrong sign, for every wrong that we ever did towards our wife, our mother, father, child, neighbor, Christ took it all. And now Jesus says to you, there is no one left to condemn you. There was no one left to condemn this woman in our story today. And who would condemn her if Jesus forgives her? And who would dare condemn us if Christ has forgiven us? If he shed his blood on the cross and gives it to us for our very nourishment, if he gave his body up on the cross and gave it to us for food so that we might have life, who would dare cast accusations against those who believe in Christ? Because Christ does not condemn us either. Christ, who was raised from the dead, and he who rose him from the dead, it goes on in Romans a little bit later, in verse 11, says that the Spirit of Christ makes us alive. It gives us a new life. So we can, like this woman caught in adultery, can leave our sin here and go out those doors and live as Christ would have us live. Not because of us, but because of the Spirit of Christ who lives in us. And so as we come here this day, we are encouraged by his love, his forgiveness, his grace, and we are helped by his mercy. And hence we can sing and rejoice. And as it said in the psalm, we know that we will see the Lord in the land of the living, for he will raise us up on the last day and bring us to the heavenly mansion. Amen.
Amen.
Now the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.